is seeing our missionaries, talking to our missionaries, learning more about what's taking place in the world, the third world countries. Since you remember Gospel for Asia, I'm very thankful for that organization and what they do in the world. You know, they're in 10 to 12 countries. And it is just a blessing to read. I don't know if you get the news. If you signed up, you'll get news articles and information. But it's just interesting. If you haven't read his little book, what's it called, Melinda? I never can remember. World Change. Do you remember, children? It's K.P. Yohannan's first book. And it was free here. It was the free book. You can go online and get it. It's a very good book. It makes you... I read it right before, I finished it before Christmas, and it showed me how not humble I am compared to this man who started an organization from scratch to reach the untouchables. That's who he reaches. These people don't even belong in a class, you know. And I look back at, and somebody up here said that, I think it was Hannah said about Jesus being a carpenter. You know, and his service was 3 years on this earth. And he would have been considered a lowly person. You know, he was never flush with wealth, flush with anything. He was a very humble servant of the Lord. And, you know, I think that's what's so interesting about what we need to understand is that, and what we're grateful for is that he loves us no matter what. And that's what I'm thankful for, this time of the season, that Christ came to save us all. And it's such a blessing to see that. So, and we had a nice icy trip. Thankfully, God, we had a 3 hour trip turned into a 3 hour drive turned into about five going to Minneapolis. And I was very thankful for his protection on the roads because it wasn't pretty. So anyway.
Rick Pfister.
We went to the last Saturday to the, was it last Saturday? Yeah, last Saturday to the thing, and it was Chelsea, I, and Joseph, and I haven't done that in a long time. Actually, I've never done it up here with church, with the angel food, and we got six people to go see, and we got into four houses, and four places, apartments, trailers, houses, is kind of a mix. And Chelsea and I went together, and Joseph went with Mike Kumro. And the first lady we went to, she was in a wheelchair, little old lady. And what really hit me is the warmth and the love these people had. They didn't know who you were. We talked to several ladies that day, and they just opened their arms, and just the love that came out from them, and just the... You know, you could see the great need most of the people had from where they were living and just their conditions. But still, they really appreciated everything that we did. And I thought how simple it was, what came to my mind more than anything, is just the task of going out and doing it. And several years ago, I was reading, and God's always had on my heart evangelism. I've always had a heart for that. And in Acts, in chapter 14, Paul is with Barnabas, what came to my mind on that Saturday is that these guys go into the city, and I won't read the whole thing. I don't have my glasses with me anyway, so I couldn't. But they're going into the city, and at first when they went into the city, they were welcoming them, and they were all happy they were there, and they were actually going to make them into gods. That's what they were going to do. They were thrilled to death. But right after that, some Jews came in from Antioch, and they won the crowd over, and they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. And then the next day, Barnabas and Paul left to Dupree. And that's a real simple thing. You don't think much about it. But what hit me is that Paul got up after being stoned, and he went back into the city. His heart for people to know Christ and to know that what he knew about the glory of heaven. He knew Jesus. It was a real relationship with him. And what struck me is that, you know, we're all willing to do things. We're all willing to put ourselves out there. But I don't think I was ever willing. I mean, if you can fathom what it would be like to someone pick up a rock and with anger and take that stone and throw it at you to try to kill you, and to have 20, 30, who knows how many people doing that, and just the condition he had to be in, and the heart that he had to have for the love of those people, and knowing that it was better for him to go in and still share Christ with them despite his physical trauma and despite what happened to him. That's not on my level. That's not how we think. And it really showed, just simply going into these people's trailers and sharing Christ with them, no one was going to throw rocks at me. It was so easy. My encouragement is that it's easy. And once you're doing it, it's great. I know my son Joseph, it turned him around. He really was excited about it. I hope he comes up and shares. He's somewhere in here. But anyway, that's what I want to share.
Tim Ward. Quiet. Shh. Justice is asleep. Now he's not. Hey, I wanted to plug the play last week. The message that came out of that, I told Pastor Vaughn and several folks, what a change in my life just watching those kids. I believe it's one of the deepest, most powerful messages I've ever heard, and the way the play was executed was just wonderful, just not performance-wise, but the heart that was there. And that theme through the church has left the building just burned in me. It burned in me. And I was out there, Tom McKnight, I wish he was here, because Tom got up. Now, most of you don't know, I'm not a dark person. I don't like calling that, but I like the late night operations and stuff. Always like stay up late, work late, it's quieter, all that stuff. Well, angel food came up. We need people early, and I had to pick Jeremy up from the airport that day, and so I was going to have to rush out. And long story short, I was up there fairly early. Not really early. And the truck should have been there, and of course it was on delay. So Tom McKnight jumps out of his truck and grabs his camera, and he goes, "Let me get a picture of this. The sun is coming up, and Tim Ward is here." And that's what everybody else did. They all started laughing. You don't see me very often that early in the morning. There was something about that day. You know those days when you know the Holy Spirit is just moving around and something's happening? That's what that was like for me all day long. Something was going on. We played football. We tagged around. I finally had to leave, I don't know, around 10:30 or 11. Had a great time freezing out there with the guys. I don't really know why we stood outside our cars the whole time. Drew Carpenter and Tom and Josh and Blake and Josiah and some others started throwing the football and goofing around. It's like, you know, like 5 degrees. I don't know how cold it was. And I thought, but I had a great time. But what was really cool watching everybody, no nasty attitudes. Everybody was like, it'll be here. Now, the truck driver, I don't think anybody ever found out what happened with the truck driver. I got a big kick out of that, though. I was like, where's the dude at? And then we don't know. Still the same. Probably don't need to know. Because maybe, Dawn, maybe the man was out just so you guys could do what you got to do. That may have been the whole purpose of that delay that day, to really pour into people's heart, which brings me to my point. I really believe that you guys really stepped out and did a great job. I heard good things from that. Wish I could have been there. But I believe we executed, even kind of in continuity with the children. We were stepping outside the building. And this is my heart. And I told David, I said, to me, I would love to see and would love somewhere placarded somewhere one day soon, this church has left the building, because there's a world of people out there hurting, and I believe you guys have wonderful gifts to share with them and do it. And what's about to happen next Saturday night is like, I'm just watching and seeing what's going to happen. But myself, I'm hoping to pile some people in and drag some folks in next week, not so we can get them here and make the thing look good, but that's what it means when you leave the building. You're leaving the building for a reason. Amen. We're not just leaving the building to go home. I love what it said over there at First Baptist St. Peter's. You're now entering the mission field when you drive out there. That's really cool, but you've got to leave to do that. So let me encourage you this year as we get ready to move on again. I know for me, I've got some new directions and new things, and I have some new opportunities for ministry as far as dealing with the older folks. I don't mean that bad, but like adults. I was in my environment last night hanging out with my homies, my teenagers, and just having a good time with them, thinking, this is really cool, but my heart's being directed a lot at the people I'm ministering to on the truck when I'm out changing a furnace out or doing some air conditioning work or doing something or just stopping and talking for a few minutes. It's changing the way I think about my ministry. And I preached a message a long time ago at my family reunion at Petit State Park, if anybody's ever been there. There's a huge sinkhole and beautiful waterfall there in Arkansas. And there's a monster boulder in the middle of this stream, and you have to walk way around it. And I noticed that the water had cut paths on both sides of it, and they told me that it actually ran under the boulder, too, going back up into the spring. And the message that was there, and I never forgot it because it was a real good one for me. It's one of those things. Isn't it amazing how water will find a way to go around any obstacle? It will go around it, over it, through it, or under it, but it will keep going, won't it? And God was really speaking to me recently about that. And he said, look, maybe if the obstacle's there, you keep pushing on it. It's kind of like for me, some things in my life. You keep pushing on it, and it's not moving. Maybe it's time for you to take a left or a right or go over or under. But quit standing there pushing on the thing because it's just not going to move right now for you. And maybe God's calling some of you to get in some different areas of ministry and do some things this year. Maybe it's time for you to leave the building and go do some work. I mean, we'll be here. There'll be people to support. But it would be amazing, gang. And I'm going to talk to the teens first, you guys. This is a ridiculously cool time to come and get your friends to come. And you can sit around and tell me why they won't come all day long, but, you know, I think you guys got boulders in your way, and you better find a way around them because God's wanting to do some stuff here. So I would really love to see this church has left the building kind of written on our hearts that we would go take out the wonderful word that God's been giving us over these years to the people that need it so bad. That's kind of an encouragement to you guys. I appreciate you guys. Love you. Hope you had a cool Christmas. We had a good one. We got through the first big. Do you guys ever have row-rows? We call them little fights at our house. I call them a rout because there's generally somebody's going after it. We had our first little disagreement. I love when they say, we learned to disagree to agree to disagree or something like that. I'm like, that's ridiculous, dude. You had a fight. You know what I'm saying? So we have those things every year. And we had a little one this year, which was really awesome. It was really short. And we, honestly, I think everybody would say, we had one of the best Christmases we've ever had. And it was an awesome time for us. And I'll tell you what was cool about it. Our little kids did this crazy play. And it was insane. And we're going to put it on YouTube and make millions of dollars. But I wanted to say, we celebrated Christmas in my heart, spiritually, probably one of the strongest ways I ever have in many, many years. And it just goes to show you that it is through the pain, it is through the struggle, that you win. Never forget that. And let me give you a little Christmas present. If you haven't got the book Let Go by Fenelon, grab that book and it will change your life this year because that's what I've been going through the last year since Kim bought it. Little tiny book. Let me just change the way you think and see things because God wants you to let go and go do something. Amen? Amen. And I want to pray for Mike and those guys, if I could right now, for next week because I am intense about this for a lot of reasons. And these guys up here, I got pictures of Ben Kinsey when he's like this tall and a quiz shirt on hanging out. And Danny, he was really small. And all of them, and my son Jordan, I'm watching, and Hannah and the whole crowd up here, and they're up here. It's so cool. I want to pray for them. If you'll pray with me, let's really lift them up and see something happen. Let's just lift them up. Let's kind of join hands with them, all right, and do that. Let's not get these things. I shared one of my concerns is that the church could get separated a little bit through this, and I don't want that. I want to see that. This is one big outfit here, and we kind of got to remember that. We just got different jobs to do, amen? So let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight, and I pray for Mike and Andrea. Just give them the wisdom to do the things that you have called them to do. For Dave and Tiff and the work you've got in their lives and all those other leaders that you've got. I can't name them all, Lord, know all doing what, but I know that there was a lot of folks up here singing tonight, a lot of people in the background playing. I thank for the pastors here giving the wisdom to encourage them along this way, and the deacons and leaders and their wives and their families, Lord. But I pray specifically for next Saturday night, Lord, and for Sunday morning, that it would be a beginning of beginnings, a day of days for us. A day of days, and when we don't have to run down to the supermarket, Father, we just need to leave this place with our heart abandoned to you and meet the needs that the world has had out there, Lord. To come to you with absolute, total abandon of everything we want and absolute desire and drive to be everything you want us to be. And Lord, we pray you would speak to us, and that you would guide us, and you would lead us each step of the way. I pray from the moment a person walks into this place, from that moment on, they sense there is something, and it's bigger than them, and it's you, Father. And I'm praying right now for all the visitors that will come. They would hear the word. They would respond to it. I'm praying for the leadership and the ministry and the folks that will contact them and be in touch with them and their friends this week, inviting them again and encouraging them to come. The Lord, the enemy would not be able to hold them back from coming. And so many times he throws some kind of roadblock as a problem in the family. Lord, when those stressful times come up, you would help them to overcome that and have this intense desire to be here, Lord, to hear what you have to say. And Lord, we're praying right now just for many people here who come in sometimes with heavy hearts and they are broken and they're not well. And Lord, I believe it's just like the angels get up and cheer. Sometimes they start cheering, Father, when we turn down this tough path because they can see where we're headed in the end. So, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do next week. And we ask a blessing on this, and you would do work, and that you would just fall on this place, and we'd never be the same. And ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi. So I'm not really big on sharing, but this week has been a really awesome week for me to get to know God, like Christmas and stuff. And I was, reading like the passages about Jesus coming to earth and, you know, like to save us and stuff. And I was reading in Luke. It's Luke 1:37. And I actually stenciled it around my door because it's so amazing. For nothing is impossible with God. And this week, like, so many things I've been reading and stuff just show that. Like, I've been reading this book about gospel for Asia, and this guy just started this by supporting one missionary. And nothing is impossible with God. And with God, he made this amazing mission thing that supports like thousands and thousands of missionaries. And just like anything in your life that you think is such a big obstacle, just all you have to do is give it up to God. And like, thanks. just have to give it up to God, because like without him, you know, you can't do anything, but with him, anything is possible.
Good word. Dan Benson.
Hi. As you can tell, we just got back from Africa and visiting Sarah. And it was quite an eventful week. And I've been sitting here, what can I say in about 5 minutes? Gosh, so much happened. There's so much to talk about. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, all right, yeah. All right, yeah, I know, I am assuming. All right, my name's Dan Benson. We went to Kenya for about 10 days to visit our daughter Sarah, who works for SIM, Serving in Missions, a Christian missionary organization. As a medical missionary, she's a PA. She's been there for a year. We decided to go and visit her for 10 days on her Christmas break because she needed some refreshing. And we spent 10 days together, and that really did happen. It was a great time. It was kind of interesting. Right off the bat, the devil was trying to disrupt this whole thing, because the first thing we did is we went down to Masai Mara, a reserve down by the border by Tanzania, to do a little photographic safariing. And what was expected and the reservations and the things that we were expecting, anticipating, didn't happen. And what she was told and what we got wasn't what. And then actually the first day, Sarah was pretty upset. She actually cried the first day because things weren't going well. And what was interesting was, as I've come to find out, that in fact, one of the missionaries later on told us, I heard the saying, TIA. I said, T TIA, what's that mean? Well, this is Africa. If it gets screwed up, if it doesn't work, it's broke. And Sarah has been talking about that, how her dependence upon the Lord, because what we normally accept is status quo and dependable, don't happen. And a lot of little things went wrong every day. And it was interesting that Sarah was so intent on us having a good time, especially for Lynette. It was interesting, on the plains down there, we went down into the Great Rift Valley. Nairobi, the capital of Kenya, is up about 7,000 feet. So we took the five-hour van ride to go down into the Rift Valley. I mean, you get to this, and you go down this hill, and this is a huge valley. And the mornings down there, we were in this tent. No heating, no air conditioning. And the mornings down there, out in the plains where the animals are, the wild animals are, is like 52 degrees. It was cold in the morning. And the only thing they had to keep us warm at night was they put a hot water bottle in our beds. And for Lynette, that was, it was the first day was uncomfortable. And there were some things that happened. And Sarah got really upset. You know, and it was really interesting that the morning of the next day, you know, Sarah and I sit down, you know, and I just, you know, we just go let all this go. If we let all these little things bother us, it's going to ruin us. And we let all that go. And there were other things that happened. You know, something I don't even remember. I don't even focus on it. And so it was really interesting. And the big thing I learned here is notice that Sarah has become a lot more calmer, a lot more steadier. Except for that first day, just really noticed that God has really settled her in. And she's just a little more stable than she's ever been. And and to see, and the big thing is the opportunity to meet the staff, her support staff. I met her pilot, her logistics people, had a great conversation with all of them, marvelous people. We had a great opportunity to spend, they had their annual Christmas luncheon while we were there in Nairobi for the staff. And what really impressed me was to see the foreigners, the French, the German, the American, the Australian, the English, people working for SIM who have come there, and then the locals, the different tribal people, coming together, working together, accepting one another. And what was really great was the director for the headquarters there got everybody up from a different tribe and language, which included Americans and German and French and Italians, and all the local African tribals, and they all got up to say, ho, 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 Merry Christmas in their own language. It was hilarious. It was funny. But, you know, what was really, what spoke to me about it was what he was attempting to do was put everybody on the same level. Made a little bit of fun of everybody's tribal, different language, but everybody was there together. And we're all equal. It was interesting. The Christmas message was given by was a local Kenyan pastor. I could barely, he spoke English. I couldn't understand half of what he said, but he gave the Christmas message. And, well, you know, it wasn't the ugly Americans coming, you know, we're here to, you know, it was this real openness together and acceptance. What was really interesting, there was no racism there as far as the whites and blacks. Now, there's tribalism, but the acceptance of whites and blacks and those racial issues that we have a tendency to have to deal with didn't exist. I don't know how many times a black guy, you know, we're out on the beach or we're out somewhere, you know, and out in the sun, and we're putting suntan lotion on. And more than once, one of the local guys would come up and say, what do you want? You don't want to look like me? You come to Africa to look like me, don't you? You know, that's what everybody else comes here for, to get dark. And so those kind of, you know, skin things, it's just not, and that really impressed me. And just the time and to see the sincerity and the giving and we just had a marvelous time. Just all the marvelous people that I met, and it was a real blessing. And also to be there for Sarah, and it was really great, you know, when we were coming near the end, and she just, you know, just really was able to say, you know, Dad, I've had a great time. It's been really good. I just really so much better. And the good news is that speaking with some of the staff, Sarah's going to get a new PA who's going to be there most of the year. She's getting another doctor that's going to be there next year. They've hired a contractor that's going to rebuild the four buildings. This project to rebuild the complex is going forward. A lot of good things are happening. And so Sarah's all excited about that. I'm excited about that. So it was really great. It was kind of interesting, too. You know, they were asking me, and I met their, the administrator, the lady who actually kind of runs things, and the operations in Sudan. And she said, "How old are you?" She says, "Oh, I'm 58. She says, "You're retiring soon, aren't you?" I says, "Well, maybe." She asked me a background. She said, "You know, we have a lot for you to you could do." So, always recruiting. And it was exciting. It was fun. We had a great time. Got a lot of great pictures of animals on the picture safari that we went. The beach that we went to in Mombasa on the eastern coast of Africa was just absolutely terrific. It was a great relaxing time. And a lot of little things went wrong. And, and the Lord really helped us. Really spoke to me about letting a lot of little things go and watching Sarah and how she overcame things and just deals with stuff. And, you know, really spoke to me about that. And it was really, really a great, refreshing time and a real lesson. And I really fell in love with the place. I'm just really excited about where she's at and what she's doing and the people there. And it was just really great.
That's so awesome, Mr. Benson. That's really funny about the people teasing you that you didn't want to look like them. That's hilarious. Because that's what happened when I was in Belize. I didn't put sunscreen on, and so I was sunburned. Well, they're all so dark, they don't get sunburned, and they asked me if I was painting with red paint. I was like, no, I was not painting with red paint. Anyways, I wanted to share about Angel Food last week. I had a blast. It was the first time I ever had done it here, and I planned to get to the church at 7, and I slept through my alarm, and so I woke up, and I was really upset. I was like, oh, great, I'm like, I'm missing it. I'm not going to be any good when I get there. I'm just going to get there, everything's going to be done, I'm going to be of no help. So I was really upset, so I rushed out of my house, didn't get any coffee, okay? Now you have to understand, certain people gave me Christmas presents that say things like, no coffee, no worky, okay? So it was not going to be a good situation. I'm leaving, and I finally get a text message from Justice, and he's like, hey, don't worry about rushing here. The truck's not going to be here for, however long, he said. And I was like, sweet. I was so excited. So that whole truck being late really worked out in my favor. In case you guys are trying to figure out the good part of that, it was a good thing for me. So anyways, yeah, I did get coffee since the truck was late, and then, yeah. Anyways, me and Alyssa Graham and Annie Graham, we had 6 boxes to deliver, and like Mr. Pfister, we got to talk to 4 of the people. 2 of the people were not home, and there were two ladies that I talked to that really had an effect on me, I guess. One of the ladies, her name was Darlene, and I guess her story, it was just kind of crazy. It's complicated, so if this doesn't make sense, I'm sorry. She lives with her son, who is 22, who is paralyzed. But her son has not always been paralyzed. It was a condition that developed. And so he has a child. The son, his name is Dale, Dale's wife left him with this child, and he's paralyzed. Dale was living with his father, who is the ex-husband of Darlene. So Darlene and her husband were divorced, and he was living with his father, and his father was very well off financially, so could pay for someone to come help take care of him. That was okay. Well, Dale's father and his stepmom and 2 other people in their house were killed in a carbon monoxide accident just like a year or two ago. So, but the stepmom survived, and so all of the money that his dad had was left to the stepmom, okay? And she would not give a cent of it to Dale, who has a child and is paralyzed and has nowhere to live. So, of course, Dale calls his mom, this lady Darlene that I talked with, and so Dale now lives with his mom. Well, because they can't afford for any kind of service, Darlene can't work because she has to be, he requires 24-hour care on top of the baby. So she's taking care of Dale, and her husband is a construction worker, and right now he's not getting any work, really. And they were getting food stamps, and then they were cut down to $14 a week, or a month. That's it for money for food, $14 a month. So, you know, she's standing there telling me this, and I'm just like, like, God, I could just really, really feel, like, but she wasn't, like, people were talking about last week, and she wasn't all, woe is me, my life is so horrible, I am so miserable, this is so, oh, wah, wah, wah. She wasn't like that. She was like, you know, there are people worse off than me, but this is what's going on in my life. Because I asked her, you know, I was like, who are you? What's your story? How can I pray for you? You know, what's your situation, basically? And so, you know, she told me all of this, and we got to pray with her, Alyssa and Annie and I did, and she just started bawling. Like, afterwards, she just started bawling, and she was just like, thank you. She just thanked us for taking this food to her, you know, and she was so kind and so sweet and so welcoming. You know, she was like, come on into my house, and so she just really, really affected me, and just with her story, just like where she was at, and just, I guess, the courage she had just to open up and tell me everything that was going on in her life, but not in a way that was like, I need attention, or, you know, I need, it wasn't like she was saying, I need you, you know, or anything like that, or do good to me because I'm in such a horrible situation. It was just that she was open and vulnerable, you know. The other lady we talked to was so nice. Her name was Jenny. She was in a wheelchair, and she had these two dogs, and the dogs were like her help dogs. And so if she dropped something, they'd pick it up. And so this one dog, I guess, like, I was carrying all of this meat because she asked me to she's in a wheelchair, so she can't, like, put away her food. So we're putting the food away for her. And so, because I don't think she wanted the dog to put the steaks away, because that just was not going to work. Well, I'm holding all of these, like, steaks and chicken and stuff, and the dog is, like, just staring at me. And this dog is humongous. And she goes on to tell me that her dog is on steroids. And I'm like, how is your dog on steroids? What's going on? And I'm holding all of this meat, and I was really scared. But but so she's like, watch what he can do. Watch what he can do. I'm like, what's he going to do? And so she, like, purposely drops something, like her wallet, and he just stays staring at me. And I'm like, isn't he supposed to go pick that up? And she's like, yeah. She's like, Huey, come pick this up. You know, he's just staring at me. This goes on for like 4 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go put the meat in your freezer now. Slowly, of course. So anyways, I didn't get eaten, obviously. And and I did put the meat away. And but anyways, she was so sweet. And she, out of all the people that we talked to, was the most talkative. Like, we just sat there and talked with her for like half an hour, probably longer than that. And because she lived all alone, and she was just totally, totally lonely, totally just wanted to talk. So, anyways, those are two people that I just loved talking to and loved just getting to know them. The thing that I guess struck me was that when I went home, I was like, okay, so when are we going to go back to those people's houses? So me and Alyssa and Annie and stuff, we actually did go back to their houses a couple days later, actually on Christmas Eve. So I don't know, like, God's, it was really awesome because I really felt like God had kind of, these are people that I'd never met before, and yet I was able to love them. I guess that's the thing. And in 1 Peter 4:9, it says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That word hospitality, I actually did a word study on it, like, last week. Kind of a random thing, and the word literally means love of strangers. Love of strangers. And I didn't know that. You know, I thought hospitality was having people over to your house for dinner every now and then, which meant you had to clean. So that verse was always used when we were having people over and I didn't want to clean, or I was complaining about cleaning. And then my parents would be like, we're going to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And so then I was going to clean my room without grumbling. And then I decided to study it and find out what it meant, and it means the love of strangers. So, you know, so the love of strangers, I was like, that is awesome. And I was so excited about what that word meant. I called my dad. I was like, Dad, did you know that hospitality meant love of strangers? He's like, yes, Hannah, I knew that. And I was like, thanks for, you know, enlightening me. so, anyways, and then in 1 John 4, No. First John 3. First John 3 talks about love. So I was like, okay, love of strangers. How do I love these strangers, these people that I don't know? And first of all, it's not something, you know, like that we work up. It's something that God puts in us. And by his spirit, we're able to love people we don't know, because that's what Christ did. First John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So I don't think I have to elaborate on that, but that's just what God was showing me and awesome stuff that happened during Angel Food. And yeah, God's awesome.
To me, it's amazing how God can, you know, use a $30 box of food to open up doors that might not normally be opened up. And even, you know, sometimes the people are actually paying for the food. We had two operations going on Saturday. The upstairs operation was for the normal people that pay for the food, which is open to anybody. And they'll come up, and they have an excellent system set up here. But, I mean, just praying with those people, talking to them, getting opportunities. Sometimes they come in during the week to order the food. And, you know, I just remember two times specifically when I was here, the guy came into my office. And, I mean, we ended up talking for 30 minutes, and this guy just wanted someone to talk to, and just someone to you know, let him know that someone cares about him. And our church is collectively doing that, and we can do that in small ways. And then another time, it was in the summer when it was one of those just blistering days out, and these two ladies got here on a Saturday night super early for the angel food order because they weren't taking them until, I think, 5:30 at that time. And these ladies were here, at, I think, at 4:30 or 5, and I'm like, I just felt bad because I didn't want to have to have them wait that long. So I'm like, I'll just take their order real quick. And you know, they both had shorts on. It was really hot. The one lady had, you know, scars all over her knees. And I was taking the order and just kind of chatting with them. And I'm like, you know, what happened, you know, with your knees? And she was telling me, you know, about all the operations she had, and you know, arthroscopy and just all that. And We ended up talking for 30 minutes, you know, those ladies and I. And again, they just want someone to know that, hey, that they mean something, that there's, you know, preciousness in their life, you know. And you could tell that they were good friends, and they were had a whole bunch of inside jokes they were kind of telling each other while I was there. And I didn't get any of them, but that's all right, because they were having a good time, and I was getting to, you know, to minister to them. So even something like that, it's really neat to see that we can minister just carrying a box of food to someone's car and saying, hey, how can I pray for you? So, who else would like to share? Dan?
I just wanted to share something that had happened recently on Christmas Eve, and I guess a few weeks ago, I was in our storage room in the basement, and I was getting all the Christmas stuff out, and years ago, my dad had given me several boxes of the Eckert ornaments that we used to use on our tree when I was little, and when he got remarried, he didn't use them anymore because his new wife wanted to use her ornaments. So he had actually given them to me, and I forgot all about them, and I had kind of tucked them away in the storage room. Anyways, I pulled them out. I found them a few weeks back, and I pulled them out, and I started going through them. And I found a couple of them that were personalized and were obviously some of my siblings. And right there in my storage room, I thought, I got to do something with these. And so what I did is not all of my siblings, I have four other siblings, not all of them had ornaments that had their name on, just two of them, my sister Donna, my brother Steve. And then I actually, my other sisters, Debbie and Laura, I just picked out two other ones. But I wrote them a letter, and then in the letter, I kind of shared something about each one of them. And the thing I wanted to share with you, and the thing that is just so amazing to me, how big our God is and how he orchestrates in our life, how he orchestrates so perfectly and so surprisingly, it's amazing. Well, the little ornament I found that was my brother's, it was a little homemade picture of Jesus. And it said that Jesus loves. And on it was written in little letters the name Steve. And I'm assuming that he wrote that on there and maybe made it in Sunday school class or something like that. I don't know. But I just thought, you know, this is his. And it belongs to him, and I want to give it to him. So I gave him this ornament. And I said in the little paragraph I wrote to him, and over the years, we were raised Lutheran, but over the years, my brother has pretty much, doesn't believe that there's a God, and at times has been hostile. And so I wasn't sure how he would even respond, but it was his, and I was going to give it to him. So in his little note, I said to him, I wrote that I believe it is at this time of your life that I think Jesus really wants you to know how much he loves you. So anyways, I saw him Christmas Eve, and I gave my sister Debbie and my brother theirs, and I sent with my younger sister Laura hers and Donna's to Wichita, because Laura went to visit her in Wichita. Anyway, so then while we were at the dinner table on Christmas Eve, my brother's sitting right across from David and I, and he just randomly starts telling us about just the night before he was surfing through the TV, and he came across this program about Jesus. And he started telling David and I all the things that he had learned about Jesus and the different miracles that Jesus did. And he talked so, like, calmly, not in a way where it was all foolish to him. But it was interesting, just the way he was, the tone of his voice, the whole demeanor of him as he talked and was telling me and David about what Jesus did. And a couple years ago, there would have been no way he would have even watched that show on Jesus, about Jesus. So under the table, I'm like hitting David's leg, you know. I'm so excited, because I knew God was preparing my brother's heart. I knew God was drawing his heart. And so I haven't talked to my brother yet. Tomorrow is his birthday, so I want to ask you, please, just to pray for Steve, just that he would respond. Jesus is calling him. Pray that God brings other Jesus people into his life. And I'm just excited. And I just, I don't know. You know, it's amazing. And just some of the little things, if we just follow through, it could have been a silly thing. I could have just shoved those ornaments back in those boxes and tucked away back in our storage room. But I just thought, you know, just following through, a simple little, could be a silly idea, but I did it, and you never know what God is doing. So please pray for my brother Steve, and I just wanted to share this one last, this verse here in Acts. It says, and you know this verse, but it's Acts 4, verse 12, and it says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." That's Jesus.
Who's next? Anybody?
Hi, everyone. My name's Lynette. You guys don't really know me. Some people know me. That row right there, the whole Ward family row, they know me. Anyway, we had a mother meltdown. It wasn't an argument. Just my mother went berserk in the morning. And we just went, And then it ended. So it was good. The rest of the time was awesome. So, yeah, it was great. We really had fun, actually. And but I wanted to share, I have these friends, and they do a lot of stuff with these people from Bridgeway. It's a treatment center down in St. Charles. I don't know if everyone knows about it, but so they had a deal on Christmas Day, and they brought all the men from Bridgeway over to this church, and they fed them and everything. And then we went up into the sanctuary and had, we didn't really have a service. It wasn't really a formal service, pretty informal, you know. You kind of have to be a little more informal in that setting. So anyway, but everyone, you know, we got up and we talked and you know, we shared. And I had actually gone to another thing the Sunday before with these about five of these men that were in this bigger group on Christmas Day, and some really spiritual stuff had happened there, and because I went off about God and how Christ can save their life, and I mean, I really went off. I was, because I, you know, these people die, and it's very upsetting to me, so I let them have it. So anyway, well, you know, it's just my method. It's just my, you know, it's my style. It's my style, and God gave it to me, so there it is. So anyway, on Christmas Day, we went to this bigger thing, and there were a bunch of people there, and we talked, you know, about Christ, you know, and why Christ came, and the whole, you know, Christmas story of Christ and his life and his walk and what he wants for us and, you know, all of that stuff. And ended up 12 of the men accepted Christ. So it was, yeah. And so I wanted to share that. It was an awesome deal. And then they all came up in a line, and there were four of us there, and we all prayed over them. And I'll tell you what, it was powerful, you know, because I know for me, what happened to me, because my life was a wreck, and I had a really not a good life at all. Very, you know, I'm not going to go into it here, but it wasn't good at all. Not in any way, shape, or form, but my life has a definite line right down the middle of it from before I was saved and after I was saved. You know, after I was saved and after I found Christ, or he found me, actually, nothing has been the same. I'm not the same person. My life is not the same. And so I know what these men have in store for them, you know. So I'd just like to ask everyone to pray for them, that they continue on their walk, because it's easy to accept Christ and not continue on your walk. And especially when you have addiction issues and you have things like that going on, it's real easy for the enemy to get back in and tempt you. I mean, there's a big button to push. You know, it's huge. It's like this bit. You know, he's just got to go brush on it, and you're back in there. So I don't know all their names, you know, but there were 12 of them, and if you would pray for them to just continue on their walk, and I'll be seeing some of them, and if you could just pray for me to maybe, you know, have the right words or, you know, whatever, because I'm not an evangelist. I'm just like some weird, loud chick with a good memory. So, anyway, that's all I got. Thanks, and praise God.
For those guys now. Father, we thank you for Lynette, Lord, and you using her so powerfully there, God. And we pray for those guys, Lord, that you'd just establish them in you, God. We thank you, Lord, that your word says when someone repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. There was a lot of rejoicing that day, God. We pray that they would continue to grow in you and follow you all their days. In your name. Amen. Thank you. Let's have the worship team come on up.